molding them. Okay? So I have something that was written here. Some child who grew up and wanted the world to know that he had the meanest parents in the world. I had the meanest parents in the world. My friends had donuts and pastries for breakfast while I had to have eggs and toast. When others had Cokes and junk food for lunch, I had to eat a sandwich and carrot sticks. And for supper, yep, that was different from the other kids too. At least I wasn't the only one suffering. My brother and sisters had the same mean parents as I did. My parents insisted on knowing where we were at all times. You think we were in prison. They had to know who our friends were and what we were doing. If we said we'd be gone an hour, they insisted we'd be gone only an hour and not 1 minute more. And can you believe it? They actually spanked us. Not just one time, but every time we showed disrespect. Can you imagine someone actually spanking a child because we disobeyed? The worst is yet to come. We had to be in bed by 9 p.m. every night and up early the next morning. We couldn't sleep till noon like our friends did. So while our friends slept, my parents actually had the nerve to break the child labor law. They made us work. We had to wash dishes, make beds, clean our rooms, mow the lawn, and all kinds of cruel things. I believe they laid awake at night thinking of mean things to make us do. They always insisted that we tell the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, even if it got us in trouble. And sometimes it did. By the time, I'm okay, I got water up here, I got everything I need. It's just the smoke. Yeah. By the time we were teenagers, they became much smarter. And our lives became even more unbearable. They wouldn't allow our friends to just honk the horn and wait for us to come to the car. No, they embarrassed us by making our friends and dates come to the door to get us. Oh, and dating. While our friends were dating at the mature age of 12 or 13, my mean parents refused to let us date until we were 16. And it all depended on their approval of the person we were to date. They also confined dating to a school or church function. My parents were complete failures. None of us have ever been arrested, divorced, or abused our loved ones. And who do we have to blame for the terrible way things turned out? That's right, Mom and Dad. Look at all the things we missed out on. We never got involved in drugs or alcohol, stealing, fighting, or a million other things our friends struggle with today. They taught us to be God-fearing, educated, respectable, and honest adults. Remembering all this, I plan to raise my children the same way as my parents raised me. I will stand tall and be filled with pride when my children call me mean. Because you see, I believe God gave me the meanest parents in the whole wide world who love me very much. And I'm very thankful. Do I need to say there's mean and then there's mean? Right? That does not give the license to be an ogre. Right? Right. Chapter 5, verses 15 and 16 of Ephesians says, "Be very careful then how you live." And the relationships we've been looking at being filled by the Holy Spirit, that's how you be careful and how you relate to one another. Christianity is more than knowledge. It's more than just having a good attitude. It's how we relate to one another. It's the one most difficult thing humans have to do. It's how to relate to one another. It goes on, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil." Children, I want you to hear. You live your life in respect to your parents for one reason, Jesus Christ. You want to honor him, all right? That's what we're going to talk about today. There'll be more young people in the second service, but here we go. Young People Walk in Humility is the title, and the outline looks like this. You got to be kidding me. What's this look like? And hey, that's kind of cool, all right? Notice Pastor Jim's an old guy trying to relate to the young people, okay? All right. I know I'm not there, but I try. So you got to be kidding me. What is this talking about? Well, look at the opening phrase. I want you to remember when it talked about husbands and wives, it talked about the wife as the one who needs to obey and the husband who needs to lead with love and honor. It's going to do the same thing here. Children, you need to, and young people, you need to obey. And the father especially, but also both parents, you're supposed to lead in such a way that nurtures and cares for. And then later when we talk in a couple Sundays about employee-employer, the employee is supposed to obey and the employer is supposed to honor the employee. So it begins, verse 1. Children, obey your parents. By the way, that's where most of us stop, and that's why we say, you got to be kidding me. There's times I don't want to obey. There's times I don't think they even get me. They don't understand me. They're old. They don't know what's going on in life. After all, this is 2018, almost 2019. They were born way back. Okay, we better stop there. The verse goes on, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Sometimes doing things because they're right is the most healthy thing to do. So two things to look at here. First of all, letter A, the thing to do. What is this thing we're called to do? It's to obey your parents. Now the term children is not just these little infants. It's not just elementary age children. It's all those of an age who need somebody to guide and take care of them, provide them a place to live, food to eat, clothes to wear. Okay, everybody who is in that age group, and it includes teenagers, includes sometimes up through high school. Unfortunately, in some ways, it can involve even those who are college and beyond. It's meant mostly for those up through that 18 years of age, high school. So, the thing to do, simple, obey. Okay, what does obey really mean? Can we kind of get some wiggle room here? Well, let's first notice that when it talks about wives, it doesn't tell wives obey your husbands. Men, did you hear that? It doesn't say obey your husbands. It uses a whole different concept. It says submit. It is voluntary. All right? And so they're to submit because it is focusing on a partnership of leadership. It's not this guy's the boss of everything and she just goes along for the ride. It's a combination. It's a partnership. He's responsible for all the decisions. Right? And the direction of the family. But there's a partnership that's focused on when it talks about wives and husbands. When it comes to children and it comes to employees, the word is different. The Greek word is to obey. Okay? This means to do as you're told. Carry out someone else's orders. It means to obey. What it says is what it says. I want us to remember what this is being written to. This whole section is being written, all of Ephesians, to believers. To people who are truly born again. Christians. And so this principle, this truth is written to you. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if your parents know Christ, it is written to you to obey your parents. Okay? Now, if I am an unbeliever and I choose to pay attention and obey this, there's a blessing. It's good too. But it's focused on the believer. So we cannot sit there and go to school and say, look at all those degenerates, man, and they're not Christians, and we can say, this is for you. Uh-uh. This is for you, believer, to obey your parents. One more thing, those who are parents, grandparents, you need to understand something. Your behavior and your attitude decides everything in your child's worldview. If we do not live committed to Jesus, if we don't live sold out to growing in Christ, if we're not doing what God's Bible says, and that's living in a way where we're filled with the Spirit, like I read earlier, if we are not gathering in a loving community of believers called the church, not just groups of believers out and about, but you're coming where the church God ordained, and we're in a local fellowship, and we are functioning together, more than just sitting in a pew, but being involved, being committed. Sometimes people ask, how did you raise your children? They love the church, they love the Lord. And we said, well, when the doors opened, we were there. Well, that's because you're a pastor. I wasn't always a pastor. Sometimes I worked at UPS, and we still were at church. We're on vacation, and guess what we do? If we're out on a Sunday, and if we were at all were possible and able, we would find a church and go to church. It was important to teach our children to be committed to the local gathering of God's people in the local church. We're losing that in America. We're losing that in America. We kind of come to church, and we sit back, and we say, I wonder if the pastor's going to say stuff I agree with. I don't care if you agree with me or not. Right. I care that we agree with God's word. Amen. You are not the standard. I am not the standard. This is. And so we need to come, and we need to hear God's word. Not come ready to judge, but come ready to let the Holy Spirit work in our life. And the child that's sitting next to you, the child that might be off in the nursery, the child that is yet to come, their view of God and commitment to the Lord is going to all be learned in your behavior and your attitude. Okay, now, I remember Carrie wanted to have a baby. And I thought, hey, that'd be cool. Wait, I'm a kid myself. I'm too young. I'm sure others of you felt that way. And then I can remember when she said one morning, good morning, Daddy. What? And then I thought, I'm scared to death because now I'm responsible for a child. And then the other thing came in my mind, oh man, there's a lot I need to make sure I'm living up to Jesus because I really want my child to love Jesus. All right. So the thing to do, we talked about children. You need to obey your parents. Parents, you need to be obeyable by following the Lord. Okay, why do this thing? That's the second thing we need to look, and it's in that same verse. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So we want to talk about in the Lord, and this is right. Okay? Parents, children, you need to understand. Young people, your parents have experienced life. Yeah, they're old. They were born in some other decade. But that's okay. They've lived it. Everything that you see is the measure of your experience in life. It's about that big. And every year you grow and have a little more experience and you listen and learn. Your parents' experience, depending on their age, is huge. And so they have a better understanding about life in general. Yeah, but they've never had to struggle with the friends I've struggled with. I'm telling you right now, they have. The names are different. They wore different clothes back then. The hair was different. Same human stuff. They understand. All right. So parents have experienced your life already. You need to learn from their experience. Some guy that I really appreciate much, he says, everybody learns by experience. Wise people learn by your experience. They look to people who have experienced life and things, and they're learning even from them, not just from their own mistakes and successes, but they're learning by watching. You know what that proverb says? That very thing. Wisdom is crying in the streets. Pay attention to her. All right. So, why do this thing? Number one, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. It is right. And that's how that verse ends, for this is right. What does it mean by right? Accurate, correct, the good thing to do. Sometimes this world says, don't do it just because it's the good thing to do. Be yourself. You know what the world is teaching you right now? It's teaching you to live in your sin. Right? When God calls us to be obedient to our parent, He's the one that designed it all. He knows better. It is right. The word there is righteous, good, just, fair. It is in harmony with God's character. That's what right means. It's not just right because the majority says so or the particular group agrees with you. It's because the Lord agrees with it. In fact, what you're doing is you're agreeing with the Lord and His character. Okay? I should not have a mouth that backtalks my parents because it goes against God's very nature. He doesn't like that. Yeah, but I got to fight for myself sometimes. Sure you do, and you can learn how to do that well, right? Because we're parents, and guess what? I never did, but all of the rest have made mistakes. You can laugh louder, it's okay. Yeah. Here's another reason if you go to, we don't need to, but Colossians chapter 3. It's kind of similar stuff to what's going on here in chapter 5 and 6 in Ephesians. And here in Colossians 3:20, it talks about, children, you need to obey your parents because this pleases the Lord. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's at the heart of what you want to do. You want to learn how to please Jesus. You want to love Him more and more. You want to make sure that your best friend is somebody you're honoring in all that you do. Number two, why do this thing? That is obey. First of all, I love Jesus. Number two, I want others to love Jesus. You have friends that you really care for. Do you have friends that you care for who don't know Jesus? Do you have a heart for them? Or are they just somebody to have fun with? Do you really care about that friend? If you really care about that friend, you want to introduce them to your best friend. His name is Jesus. Because Jesus is more than fun and games. He's that and everything. But He's also so much more. He's confidence. He's courage. He's your future. He's going to help you grow up in all ways. If you but pay attention. Right? And so, the other reason why I do this thing is I want other people to love Jesus. Notice it says, do it in the Lord. By the way, obey your parents in the Lord. It tells wives to submit to your husbands in as unto the Lord. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Then it's going to talk about the children here, obeying in the Lord. It's going to talk about parents, train up your children in the way they should go in the Lord. It's going to talk about those who are working, obey as unto the Lord. And those who are employers, treat your people the same way because you're in the Lord. We are all accountable to one person. His name is Jesus. So, in the Lord talks about how you live. If you live your life in rebellion to your parents and they know that you're a believer, guess what you're doing? You're telling them that Jesus means nothing. You're telling them to run away from Jesus. I mean, I don't need Jesus. I can do the same thing and be the rebel against my parents and any and every authority. But when you're honoring your parents to your friends, even when your parents feel like they're being unfair, unkind, but you're still honoring them, guess what you're doing? You're saying, I love Jesus, I love my parents, and I'm going to obey them. I'm not happy with it, but I'm going to obey them. Because I promise later on in life, a lot of that will make a lot of sense. We had a family in the church here, and several kids in the family, and one of the boys was just kind of fighting everything. He wouldn't listen to his parents, and he was just struggling all the time. Finally, I'm getting out of the house and joining the army. I'm getting out of here. So people quit telling me what to do. Those are his words. And I'm looking right at him going, yeah, the world's going to catch you. So he comes back. He 2 years in the army. He's out. And he gets married. And she has a child already. So he get a ready-made family. And he's trying to make ends meet, and he can't. He never learned how to respect and obey the experience of others. So finally, one day, he called me up, can I come see you? And he left the church, you know. And so he comes by to see me, and we're having a good talk. And we stayed good friends, but he didn't want to listen to anything. So he comes in, and he says, do you have any work that I could do, Pastor Jim? I need some money. And I explained, we generally don't hire people like that, because if you get hurt, there's a liability thing. I'd rather just give you some money. What do you need? Which I was generous with him and helped him out. And he looked at me and goes, just broke down. Life is kicking my backside. Keep talking. I thought all I had to do is get away from my parents and everything would be great. I thought all I had to do is get out of school and people quit telling me what to do. I realized I should have been listening. Because they weren't telling me what to do. They were guiding me. And I'm just listening to this guy just have an epiphany about the value of parents. His parents were not the best. But they cared for him. And they were trying to guide him in the right way. And it took him, I don't know, 10, 15 years to realize that kicking against them was the worst thing he could have done in life. But when you learn how to obey your parents, and you're doing it as unto the Lord, you know what you're doing? You are an invitation for people to come to Jesus. They begin to see that. And they don't understand it most of the time, because the world teaches fight for your own way. But when you start to learn and follow your parents, people kind of go, why do you do that? That sounds stupid. Well, I love Jesus. He said for me too, and they have experience that I don't, and so they love me. And so even though this is frustrating to me, I'll figure it out later. And you get to draw people to Jesus. Now we want to look at what this looks like. How do you obey your parents? You get it. They say you do. Of course, that's what the way it's supposed to be. But there are things that are much deeper than just me obeying. Obeying means so much more. Three things. First of all, the beginning of verse 2 says, honor your father and mother. We don't understand what honor is. You can watch a really good movie, okay, Braveheart or something, and they're fighting for their honor. And there's a measure of that. But there's much more to honor than just beating up a bad guy. There's so much more to honor, okay? And it's not so much your honor as giving them honor. We have a hard time giving other people honor. I think I deserve it. I don't want to give you honor. No, I'm envious. Well, let's talk about this. Look at letter A. Honor your parents. Honor defined. I think it's in your bulletin. To set a price on, to value, to give a reward to accept as valid. Do you value your parents? There's times I didn't, because they didn't let me do what I wanted to do, right? But I learned to have value for them. And when they began to get their divorce, my value was just really stepped on a lot, because they would harm and hurt each other. Oh, it would break my heart. It would break my spirit. Three times I ran away. I got as far as the front yard. And God says, where are you going to go? What are you going to eat? At least you got all that stuff. So I climbed in the back of Dad's truck. And I just laid there and said, stop it. You can. Why don't you? And God began to teach me that I've asked them to love me. They're choosing not to. This is their choice. Okay? They need to come to me. I want to ask Carrie to come up here. I've asked her to do this. I've mentioned before about her father, a drunkard, and she only knows him as a biological father, not any other kind of a emotional, giving, loving father. But I've asked her just to give one account where her mother taught her to honor him.
We all have parents. And I know some of you have probably had parents maybe that you can relate with me about. My dad wasn't just a drunk. He was a hardcore alcoholic. It wasn't just a six-pack of beer at the end of the day. It was every single kind of alcoholic drink you could think about 100% of the time, all the time. I only remember my dad once when he was sober. And so he lived on one side of the house. My mom and I lived on the other side of the house. My brother and sister were out of the house by the time I was 9. So I'm considered the youngest only child. So my dad was more abusive to the two older children than he was to me. With me, he was just very sappy. And so I just kind of wanted to stay away from him. So I would hide from him whenever he would come home. I just didn't want him around. Now my mom, she lived with this man, okay? But at the same time, she kept all three of us in church, and she kept us, all three of us, walking with the Lord. And so that's why I'm here today, is because of the influence of my mother in my life. There were two occasions when I was asked to honor my dad. And my mom was the one that said, Carrie, this is what you need to do. When I was planning to get married, by the way, I was an adult during this time. So when I was planning to get married, I was going to have my brother walk me down the aisle because he was the man in my life. Even though he was in the army and far away at the time, he was still the one that I looked to as the man in my life. So I was going to have him walk me down the aisle. And my mom sat me down one day and she said, Carrie, she says, I want you to reconsider having your dad walk you down the aisle when you get married. I looked at her and I said, no. I don't think so. There's no relationship there. And she lovingly sat me down, and she said, Carrie, she said, whether he was involved in your life or not, or whether he's the kind of man that you look up to or not, God used this man to bring you into the world. Okay? So I had to think about that and the definition of the honor to give a reward to. So I prayed about it, and the Lord said, you should probably do that. So my then fiancé took my dad aside and said, you're going to walk your daughter down the aisle. You show up at this wedding drunk, you will be kicked out. Period. That was the time I saw my dad sober. Came sober, dressed to the hilt, to walk his daughter down the aisle. I honored my dad. Still didn't repair the relationship, but I honored my dad, and he was able to give his daughter away at my wedding. The second time, we've been married, we've moved up to the Northwest, I had a couple of kids, and my good friend in Arizona was going to get married. She asked me to be in her wedding. And at this time, my dad was so riddled with cancer that we didn't know how long he was going to live. And so when Mom found out that I was flying down to be in this wedding to Arizona, she goes, Carrie, you need to go see your dad. I don't want to go see my dad. Why do I need to see my dad? There's no reason to see my dad. He can't even talk. He had a stoma. There was nothing to say. He can't talk. You need to go see your dad. Mom, I'm not going to go see my dad. I'm down here for another reason. Carrie, you need to go see your dad. Prayed about it. The Lord said, that's what you need to do. So I rearranged my plans. I had a cousin I never knew pick me up from the airport. That was awkward. Drive me to see my dad. And my dad just looked horrible. And we sat there for 3 hours and didn't say a word because he couldn't say anything. And I didn't know what to say. And he just held my hand and he just looked at me. Talk about awkward. But in his eyes, all I saw was regret. He didn't know me. He didn't know who I was, even though he lived on the same house as I did. So about 3 hours later, he was tired. He needed to rest. And so my cousin took me back to where I was in the wedding. Mom called me up. Carrie, your dad wants to take you to the airport. Mom, I already have all of these arrangements made. No, your dad wants to take you to the airport. Okay, so I called up this cousin. Can you come get me? Yes. So Dad brought me to the airport, and again, we sat there and looked at each other across the table, and I have a picture of him with me. I wish I could have brought it, but wasn't able to get to it. And that was the last time I saw my dad. He died a few weeks later. The moral of this story is I have no regret. I honored my father. Not only did I honor my father, hopefully, I obeyed my mother. And because of those two instances in my life, I was able to break the cycle. Jim was able to break the cycle in his life of broken, nasty marriages. Jim and I have been married almost 34 years. We have 3 wonderful daughters, 2 fantastic sons-in-law, hopefully one more someday. But I think because of both of our obedience to our parents and honoring our parents through the nasty, nasty stuff in life, God has blessed us. And so that's what I wanted to share today, that God has blessed us with a good marriage and 3 fantastic kids. So, yeah, you may have parents that are undeserving of any type of emotion, love, honor, whatever, and I understand that. But if God asks you to honor and to obey, I would hopefully you would obey him and then let him bless you.
The old nature, encouraged by the world, would say, never give up resentment. You're weak if you don't continue to be resentful towards your father, Carrie. You're weak if you don't keep up the anger and the frustration and keep him back. Carrie honored both parents by obeying Mom and going to see Dad. I remember at the wedding rehearsal, he was a happy guy, and I'd only seen him once before. But he was promising to buy us a brand new TV and this and that. I'm going, I like this guy. Of course, I don't trust anybody who's going to promise the moon. And Billy and Carrie were getting very, very irate. And so I had to go calm them down. They said, he's drunker than a hoot. And he better not come to the wedding drunk. And Billy was going to go take care of him. That's her brother. And I know if he went to take care of him, he was fresh out of the army. He probably would have waxed him outside behind the shed. So I had to hold him back. And I promised I'd take care of it. But Carrie and her brother honored Dad by squelching that anger. You don't learn to obey your parents, and all it does is cause that drama. Value them. Carrie, as much as you have a hard time valuing your dad, God values him as much as he values you. Who are you and me to value him any less than his creator? Value your parents. To obey is to honor. You want to know how to honor your parents? Obey them. To honor is to value. How do you value? Listening to your parents' advice values their experience. They got something to say, and it makes sense. When you don't listen, you devalue them. Here's another way. Listen to their advice values their voice. Young people, have you ever sat there and go, nobody hears me? I don't matter. Nobody sees me. When you don't listen to your parents' advice, that's exactly how they feel. They learn to be patient. Okay? Listen to their advice. It values their voice. And then listen to their advice. It shows your love for them. It shows your love for them. Dad and I are repairing the car in Portland, Oregon. I've been up here for I don't know how long. He come up from Arizona. He's freezing cold. And I'm perfect, you know, in the climate. And so we had to go have a bearing pressed off and pressed on. So we're walking down the road, and Dad goes, Jim, don't you need a coat? You know, hey, I've arrived. I'm married. I got a kid. I got an apartment. I'm taking care of myself. So I turned to him and said, Dad, I'm fine. I'm accustomed to this. I'd be happier if you had a coat. Dad, cut it out. I'm a full-grown man. I know if I'm colder or not. And my dad, in his infinite wisdom, says, when do you want me to stop being your dad? So I stopped right then, and I went back in the house, put on the lightest coat I could find, because I truly was fine. I walked out, and we never said a word, and just walked on. That's how you honor. You listen to their advice, and you do. Letter B, here's another way that this looks. Respect your parents. In the definition of honor, the word respect comes up. So they're kind of married. They're kind of similar thing. So respect defined means to have regard for. Again, to value. To avoid violation of. When you learn to value and honor your parents, to value leads to respect. To respect makes obedience easier. I can obey the one that I have learned to respect because I value them. And then it makes sense. They're at least guiding me in a direction. So here we learn to obey them, and it's easier because you appreciate their experience and their love. You begin to appreciate their experience and their love. Not taking it for granted, but seeing it as a real thing. And then the second thing, you show them respect by protecting their reputation. By protecting their reputation. How do you do that? You speak kind of them with your friends. You don't bash your parents in front of them. Okay? And here's another thing. You speak kind of them to yourself. I know your head gets wild and you start getting angry at your parents, and you know, and inside your head you're going, blah, 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 I know it, you know. But you need to learn to discipline yourself, grow up, and arrest all that thinking and become kind to your parents. Look at letter C. Here's a third way in which this looks. Care for your parents. Care for your parents. Care defined. Provide assistance to. Concern for the safety and well-being of. Okay, now Deborah is ready to put me in an old folks home, take my keys away, because she thinks I'm getting old, right? And just, it's too much for me. She says, Dad, I only say that because I love you. I really don't mean it. And I think she does. Here's something you need to understand. Your parents are human. Sometimes Dad could come across as nothing ever bothers them. They're as human as you are. The emotions that you struggle with, they have those emotions, right? The hurt, the anger, the frustration, the joy, the celebration, the exuberance, they have it all. They have it all. They've had more of a lifetime to learn how to temper it and balance it out. Here's something you need to come to grips with. Your parents really love you. Push come to shove, when everything is over, said, and done, you know that your parents love you. They may not let me get to do what I want to do. That means they don't love me. That's not true, and you know it. Sometimes they say no because they really do love you, and they know how it's going to end up. So here's how you care for your parents. You speak kindly of them in your mind and with others. You learn to trust them to really care for you. And when they're giving you guidance and it's not what you want to do, you learn to trust that they have a greater experience and know more. Another way that you care for your parents is you obey them. They feel like they've been heard and loved. We had an exchange student from Belgium, Eloise. Some of you might remember her. And after a good long time, I got to know her. I finally looked at her and said, Eloise, you're a credit to your parents. And she kind of blushed. What? You credit your parents because your attitude, your behavior, your work ethic, and everything. You honor them in all that you do. I think I said the best compliment to Eloise I ever could, which verified she valued her parents. She's not a believer. They're not believers, but they understand the importance of valuing others. Let's go to the third point. Because we got the command, obey. We got, you know, how to do it in the Lord, because it's the right thing. But now we want to go to the second half of verse 2 and verse 3 and say, hey, that's kind of cool. So here, starting in verse 2, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth. God promises if you obey your parents, if you honor, respect, and care for them, he's going to give you a reward. We shouldn't go, ooh, I get a reward, so now I'm going to obey. But it can be a motivating factor, and there's nothing wrong with that. You understand? Scripture often says, here's a reward if you obey. Okay? So there are basically two promises here. Letter A, the promise to escape hardship. Notice the verse, honor your father and mother, skip down a little bit, that it may go well with you. Do you understand that disobedience in the home causes disharmony? You know what harmony is, right? Hey, we played a whole bunch of songs to begin with, and everybody was on the right key and playing the right notes, and it sounded good. And you're all singing well, and it all sounded good. What would happen if Carrie really didn't know how to play the piano, and Marty and John and everybody didn't know how to play or sing? Okay? And you can picture the disharmony. It'd be like a karaoke up here, right? And it'd be a mess. Harmony brings unity, pleasantry. When we're disobeying our parents, when we're devaluing them, when we're not honoring them with our love and respect, disharmony rules the day. I've been in a home that is full of disharmony. Carrie just explained hers. I don't like it. It's not a place to be. There's been times in our home raising our children where there's been disharmony. It's not good. In fact, I remember two occasions we had to get to church, and I had to take Sharon aside and say, Sharon, what I was saying was right, but the way I said it was wrong, and I've offended you, and I don't like that disharmony. I need to ask forgiveness. You don't deserve that. And every time, she forgives me because she's crazy. So, a promise to escape harmony. Here are three things, what it means to escape hardship. Number one, your parents have already done that. I don't care if you think you're new and improved and your parents have never seen the emotions, the circumstances, the stuff you have to... Okay, they haven't seen the iPhone until they got your age, right? All right, but they understand the ins and outs and the problems and the struggles with what the World Wide Web can bring into your life. They understand it all because they've been there. They've done that. They own the T-shirt. So you need to listen to them because of their experience. Number two, they generally know what's coming next. My dad used to tell me, Jim, I bought you this motorcycle. You can ride all these roads. Don't go down the main road because I'm afraid you'll get hit because they travel it too quick and it's kind of way out there and I may not know about it until you die. Please don't do it. And I thought, oh, Dad, you don't know nothing. I can handle it. I told you that story. I rode my motorcycle out there and got hit by a truck. My first thought was, I'm dying, and I almost did. I was on the verge. My second thought was, I hate it when Dad's right. And then my third was, boy, am I going to get it when he finally gets here. Dad was kind. We had one little talk. Jim, you want me to fix the motorcycle? No. And he said, okay, I think you've learned your lesson. Uh-huh. Yeah. They generally know what's coming next. He was right. I can't tell you how many times my dad has been right. And it's because he's been there. He's done that. He's experienced it. I need to trust that he loves me and trust his experience. The third one, they love you like crazy. Now, some parents don't know how to express that love because it wasn't expressed well to them growing up. They still love you deeply. Some struggle with how to show that love. They have a lot of fear. They have a lot of concerns. They have a lot of voids where they just didn't learn or express or be exposed to it. But you need to trust that they really do love you. If they didn't, you might be out of the house by now. Look at letter B. Here's the other promise. The promise to escape harm. The promise to escape harm. If you obey your parents, if you listen to them, the promise, God promises that you're going to escape harm. Not all hurt, not all problems, but you will escape harm. So you go back to the verse where it says, honor your father and mother, and then you jump ahead and it says, that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Yeah, if you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, your future is secure in heaven with Him. This is talking living your life out here. You listen to your parents, it's going to go better for you. Talking about long life without death. But more importantly, it's talking about a long life that is without continual anger and verbal violence. Some of us need to learn that as we're growing up. We carry the fight all the time in the home. And if you don't learn to forgive, if you don't learn to give up, if you don't learn to live in harmony God's way, your life will be that way forever. And I'm telling you right now, it ain't a fun life to live. I often end up counseling people who don't learn to live God's way. And usually they come in, here's the problem, she's this, he's this, da, 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 da. And what they want me to do, they want to keep living the way they are. They just want the pain to go away. It never will. You choose to live in anger and rebellion, you deserve what you get. So here, the promise to escape harm. Number one, escape harm from dumb decisions. You listen to your parents, they're going to guide you along. They're going to help you make decisions that are not going to harm you in the future. Stay away from drugs. Stay away from alcohol. Because when you're young, it just gets abused. When you're older, it gets abused too. But when you start the abuse young, it's hard to get out of it. There's people in this congregation, you can ask that. There's other dumb decisions that we make. And your parents are there to help you say, I wouldn't do that because. And listen to the because. The second thing, to escape harm from bad people. I don't know if you know it, but there's bad people all around. Not everybody, but there's a bad person somewhere. And you have people who want to be your friend, and their ulterior motive is to get you to do what they want to do. Stay away from that person, right? Unless they're leading you to the Lord, that's different. But most time, people want you to lead you away, like taking a sheep from the flock. Your parents will guide you from people who will corrupt you. They can guide you from people who will help you make dumb decisions. Here's another promise. Obeying your parents will escape harm from useless living. Hey, video games are fun, but if that's all you do with your life, it's useless. You're going nowhere. Hey, wait, I might get a great job. Well, yeah, you and there's not that many opportunities. But there's other useless living. Arguing and fighting and rebellion. When you listen to your parents, they will protect you from harm of dumb decisions, bad people, useless living. When you listen to your parents and obey them, you understand that they've already done all that. That they generally know what's coming next. And most of all, they really love you like crazy. So, young people, come next week. Because I'm going to get after your parents. Okay? All right? Not me, but God's Word. Here's some applications for the young people. Learn everything you can now. In your home. From your parents who really love you. The world will not be so patient or kind, I promise. I know. I've experienced this world. Number two. Don't listen to people who haven't lived very long. They're just guessing. I'm talking about your friends. You need to have conversations with them. You need to do that. But if you take your friend's advice over your parents' advice, that's a dumb decision. You need to obey your parents. Don't listen to people who have lived, who haven't lived very long. They're just guessing. Instead, listen to your parents. They're not guessing. They've already lived through it. Number three. Rebellion, or we could say disobeying. And rebellion, no matter how small it is still rebellion. And in Scripture, it talks strong against rebellion. Rebellion cannot learn because it believes it knows everything. You know what Proverbs calls that? The fool. Obedience wants to learn today so it can do something awesome tomorrow. You know what Proverbs calls that? Wisdom. So thank you for your time today. Young people, we need to walk in humility. And there's so much in this sermon today that applies not just to young people, but to God's people. As we are looking at what it means to be filled with the Spirit and what it looks like, rebellion shrinks away. Obedience and support rises to the top. Father, I want to thank you for today. These people, I thank you for your word. I want to thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. I want to thank you that you've applied that salvation to certain ones. I want to thank you that you don't get us saved and let us figure it out on our own because we would mess it up again. But that you continually, through your Holy Spirit work in our life, I pray that we learn how to let go and allow the Holy Spirit to fill us, Father. And let it be evident in the joyful song that comes from our heart and a thankful attitude towards the Father when we give praise to you. And then it shows up in the relationships with all others. In Jesus' name, amen.